All right, so okay, so we started last week. Last week we dealt much with at least the box heter for eating for why chadash and chutzlar it's maybe or at least why the minhag is to seems to be lenient about chadash and chutzlar. Point out also that that the Rabbanut is machmir on it. So I actually posted today on one of my Mivaseret WhatsApp group from my year, where there are a couple of people that made Aliyah. I was like, just curious, like, are you guys machmir in Chadash? Meaning this time of year when the Rabbanut is machmir on it. But if you do you buy Cheerios in the store starting in, you know, do you stop buying Cheerios starting October? Like, is the Thilumi community machmir on it? And they seem to say no. So then I started wondering, truth is, like, why? What exactly is the distinction between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz? I mean, we want to come along. I mean, there's two ways that we could say Eretz Yisrael is different than Chutz La'aretz. It's about the product or about the people, right? And the base or the location where the actual food is taking place. And what we assumed last week, right? The Mishnah tell. So, and it seemed like it should be the same thing. I mean, if you're going to be Makel about, I mean, the whole thing is based off of that a machlokas about whether the korban omer could be brought from barley that was grown in Chutz La'aretz, right? And we paskin that it needs to be from Eretz Yisrael. That indicates that maybe it's only a Eretz Yisrael din and not something that would be outside of Eretz Yisrael. So if that's the case, so if grain is coming from Chutz La'aretz, so then it should be the same. Like, why should change? Why should anything change just because it has entered into Eretz Yisrael? So that's what I was pondering. I started wandering around looking about this. Really didn't find much. So I took a look in the. There is one comment. There's one sif about Chadash and Yashin at the end of Hilchos Sfiras HaOmer in Or Chaim. So the whole the siman about at the end of Hilchos Pesach, at the siman about counting Sfiras HaOmer. So the very last thing makes a comment about, oh, and this is also the day that that we become makel, that we could be makel and eat whatever grains were planted or took root prior to Pesach. So that ends up being the first source here. There, I'll put it up here. There we go. Okay, so you put this line on for the Piskei Tshuva. So if you see here at the very end, it says Chadash. So Simon Chavtes, the Simon right before, is about Chadash in Chutz La'aretz. I mean, why are people seem to be makel about that? And then here it's V'yesh Lamdo Aleim Schus Shechidish V'Chutz La'aretz Eino El Medivrei Sofrim. But what grew in Eretz Yisrael, so that everybody would assume would be Aser. Now, my understanding, despite its lofty status of wheat and barley as being one of the Shiva Minim in Eretz Yisrael, most of the bread in Eretz Yisrael is not coming from wheat that's grown in Eretz Yisrael. Rather, it's coming from Chutz La'aretz. It's coming from elsewhere. I do recall, actually...
Probably.
What?
Probably
from
Ukraine.
Right. Either it was from the Ukraine, yeah, now maybe coming from Iowa, I don't know. But, I did drive, I think not my last trip to Israel, the previous one, when I was on the mission, with the Federation, and we went near Sderot. I think we did go drive by a few, wheat fields that were growing. Truth is, that story about the, remember during the war, during the Gaza war, I think the last really big one, remember there was this story about that there was a cave that went under a field, and the Arabs were planning on coming out in the middle of a wheat field, and then they came out, and lo and behold, the wheat field had already been cut down, and they were mowed down by the Air Force, which was a good thing. And the pshat was, right, they were because they wanted to cut the grain early to be used as matzah grain, the same way that Arizona grain is used. I mean, they wanted to cut it early before there was a dew point forming on that. So therefore, they cut it before anybody else did, and therefore surprised these Arabs who all of a sudden showed up and realized that the field had already been mowed down, which is pretty amazing thing. But right, so that was a wheat field, right? So there is some growth, but apparently my understanding is that a lot of the wheat in Eretz Yisrael comes from Chutz La'aretz anyways. So why are we going to be more machmer on that? Just because you happen to be in Eretz Yisrael. So I didn't get a chance to actually see it inside, which is why I just put this page from the Piskei Tshuvas up here. But you see at the bottom, the second paragraph, it says, Utfua o kemach shel nachrim b'chutz la'aretz hamuvel Eretz Yisrael. What about grain, wheat, that or flour that comes from that of that was grown by non-Jews in Chutz La'aretz and is brought into Eretz Yisrael, v'nasas isa b'Eretz Yisrael ayde Yehudim, and then is turned into bread in Eretz Yisrael, meaning Angel's Bakery, right? So that already is a little bit beyond. That's already a bigger chumrah than the Cheerios, right? So yesh shekasfu she'achlam akilim b'chadash b'chutz la'aretz v'shel nachrim, that even though there are those that write that even though you could be makel b'chadash in chutz la'aretz when it belonged to non-Jews, kazeh l'chuliyama asr min haTorah. With this, or baza, I guess, l'chuliyama asr min haTorah. With this, everybody assumes that it's asr min haTorah. Why? Kim shenasis lechem b'eretz Yisrael al yedei Yehudim. Because it was made into bread in Eretz Yisrael by way of Jews. So what is that? So who's he getting this from? So if you look at the footnote here, 138, so he goes from the Tzitz HaKodesh, don't know what that is, Shem Mari Me Salant, I assume that's Rav Yosef Me Salant, I'm not sure who that is. Shal Teshuvas Achiyah, then he goes from Chai Moser. So that I wanted to look up, what he says there. But he says, Shehishvu din dechadash ledin chala, that he compares chadash to chala, which we saw that it is comparable to. The tefuah chutz la'aretz nisgalgal b'eretz Yisrael chayevis, that if you have tefuah from chutz la'aretz that then gets turned in Eretz Yisrael, it would then be chayev. But perek b'iz dechala v'yushal misham, as we see in the second perek of challah, that apparently, so we got to take a look in Maseches Challah in the Yerushalmi about that right, challah and chutz la'aretz is considered derabanan and Eretz Yisrael is considered to be more deoraisa. So what about grain coming from chutz la'aretz into Eretz Yisrael? So apparently it seems like we are machmir on that if it's turned into challah and Eretz Yisrael to turn it into deoraisa, something that's chayv and challah deoraisa rather than derabanan. So therefore Chaim Moser says it would be the same thing by Yashan. Now it continues on here, it says, V'yesh omrim shadafka imatua v'kema chaya shal Yehudi, but only if a Jew owned in chutz la'aretz, az yesh bo isra chadash min haTorah, she'in kan shinui rishios, minachri l'Yehudi, ela shinui mekomos v'chutz la'aretz l'Eretz Yisrael. No, it's only if it was owned by a Jew. If it's owned by a non-Jew, nothing doing. V'yesh matirim b'chol gavne, and those that are makel on all, shadini kedin tevua chutz la'aretz shadinu mefurishal el, like the previous if, in which case there's no difference. So, okay, so I'm not sure, so that yes, how it actually plays out in Israeli kashrus agencies or the Rabbanut as to what they're machmor on exactly. So that I'm not sure about. But it seems like Chaim Moser is obviously a serious makor, but it seems like there's what to argue about. About just because something isn't, just because it happens to be in Israel now, if it was grew outside of Israel, then you don't necessarily. It's unclear that one really needs to be more machmor than they would be if they were still living in Chutz La'aretz. Right? That's what seems to come from that. Okay. So, anyways, so now continuing on here.
There's a question on. I sent you the note this week that Hoppies is.
Yes.
Kaddish of Yashan flour.
Yes. Sorry. Yeah.
Which would have stayed Yasha? I don't understand.
Yeah, they could have. They probably couldn't get.
They couldn't get wheat 2 weeks ago?
They don't just go to the store and buy a whole, so they have their suppliers and they have their wheat, their people that they use for their stuff. So it could be that they had, supply chain issues and that was it. They're very old. I mean, like I know from our pretzel places, they're very finicky about their flour that they use. They have to get their specific thing, so it could be they.
I would have just gone to Costco and picked up like
a few pallets, right. Potentially they could have and didn't, meaning their supplier. They have a standing order and the guy shows up and says sorry, Right.
I'm correct that they would have just bought flour 2 weeks ago. That would have been.
Yeah. No, had they bought and kept it, that would be fine. Now, these places use immense amounts of flour. To store it is also not a simplest thing. But I mean, all the bakeries have trouble. When Best Cake changed over and Frum Guy took ownership of it. So he looked into becoming Yashan, and there is There is someone apparently in Lancaster who's like the Yoshin guy, like a Chabad guy who works with fields near there. But it's going to be more expensive. You try doing it on your own. It's a problem, and they just couldn't get enough of a supply for that long. So someone in the Star K told me that with all their bakeries also they try to be Yoshin as long as they could be, but it often becomes. Once you get to January, February, March, they start putting up lists as, like, the following things are and the following things aren't. Now, I thought you were going to ask about the, what kept them from getting more Yoshin flour later on, right? So I think that would mean that they would have to kosher, right? If they use Chadash flour for 2 weeks, and then they say, oh, we got Yoshin flour, we're going to go to Yoshin flour from here on in, so that would mean that they would have to kasher whatever they had, because whatever they had still has chadash. Now, that chadash, the chadash blios, become yashon once you get to Pesach again, right? So you don't have to kasher just because you ate chadash the previous year, right? Whatever it is becomes good again once you get to Pesach. But I think that would mean that they would have, now I'm not sure, the people that are machped in yashon, are they machped on it to the point of even blios? So that's unclear. I mean, are you machmir or machbid? I think is the way of putting it, right? So, like the same issue comes up with Chalav Yisrael things. There's a lot, like the yeshivish way of being machmir in Chalav Yisrael is to only eat things that are Chalav Yisrael or drink Chalav Yisrael milk, but they wouldn't be machbid on kalim. Right, but in some, especially the Chabad community, they hold chalav stam is treif. Like they hold that it's completely usher. It's an iser derabanan. Like we would assume, like bishul akum, they assume it's the same thing for chalav akum. So therefore, anything that has milk blios in it, that would be a problem. So I assume the RCBC. I don't know. I could find out, but it could be the RCBC said, listen, if you're going to be say that we're Yashan, so then you have to be real Yashan, you have to be all in, and including the Blios. So that being the case, so they said, all right, okay, you can. It is what it is. You don't know for sure what?
Whether it was from before Pesach or after Pesach.
No, you don't know. You can know pretty well nowadays, though. We'll probably get into this a little bit later on. But the issue of every bag of flour has a date on it, has a mill date on it, I haven't looked in the supermarket, but those massive 50-pound bags of flour that are used in commercial places, so they all have dates on. I remember someone asked me something about, I think last year it was like November or something, October, maybe like, I think October, and I think Rav Moshe Lichtenstein came to town, and he's Machmir on Yashan. So the person hosting him said, like, can you, like, what's the story with the bagel store? Can I say? So I went to the back and started examining all of the dates on the thing, and it was already too late. And Nick was like, "I told you it was too late. I told you." And Nick was very holding already into what the Yashan issues were.
But it doesn't really go by the mill date; it goes by the harvest date, right?
No, yeah, it goes by the harvest date. I'm saying the way that the agencies can figure out what it is that you go to the mill date. Well. One way is to go to the mill date, and that gives you an approximate picture. On this Star K webinar that they did with Rav Tendler, so he pointed out that sometimes you can call the Star K, and they might tell you something is Yashan, even though the Yashan book, which we'll get into, right, tells you that it's Chadash. He says, why is that? He said, because we give hashkacha on the place, meaning we might know from the mashkiach when the wheat is actually coming in, or they might give hashkacha on the mill, right? So if you, it could be that the agency might have specific information about a mill, meaning those dates might just be, it was not milled before this date or something, right? So it could be that an agency might have more information about a particular mill and like whatever. So this is the time of year where this stuff really really comes up. This is when all the dates are changing over. So anyways, so here we go to Siv Gimel. So the in the tour, right? So that's page two. So in the tour, So the Torah here says in Gimel, Ve'ena Omer Matir El Tavua Shenishrusha Kodama Omer, Avalim Lo Nishrusha Kodama Omer Enu Matira. So he says we're only talking about Tavua that was that took plant before the Omer. But if in Lo Nishrusha Kodama Omer Enu Matira, but if it wasn't before the Omer, so it wouldn't be Matir. Actually, there's. Where did I? I forgot where I was looking today. You pointed out that maybe it was here. Maybe it was in the Minchas. I don't remember. Looking through something today, it pointed out that not only is there, it's not just an isser to eat things that were cut before the that took plant after the Omer. You're not allowed to cut anything. I mean, the pasuk says es katsir artzach reshis katsir artzachem, the first of your cuts. Meaning, it's not just we normally think about it. Oh, you bring the korban to Omer, so now all of the stuff that was old now becomes all the stuff that was chadash now all of a sudden becomes yashin. You could eat it all. There is an additional isser of harvesting those things. Now I'm not right. As Pasuk says that the korban to Omer should be the first thing that you cut of the year. Now how that plays out, I'm not sure. I mean, I don't know if a Jew owns a farm. Most of the farms in America are owned by non-Jews, so they're going to do the harvest. Of the summer wheat, which is what we said was the issue. So they're going to do the harvest of the summer wheat, and then, okay, so now we're left trying to figure out what the story is with this wheat. But if a Jew owns a field, it sounds like they're not allowed to cut that wheat. And if they do, I'm not sure what the halacha then is with it. I just saw that. It is what the pasuk says. It seems to be what the halacha is. It's not sure in terms of our hilchos kashrus what the application is. But anyways, then he continues on here and quotes this Sfeik Sfeika that was put forth by the Rush. So we'll read it now. I don't think we're going to get into the discussion about it tonight. Didn't get there. But Kasav Adrani Avi Rush B'tshuva Vaday Shekol Hashanim Ein Lachush Misafek Al Tvua LaAsra Shemalo Nishrusha Kodem DeSamchinan Arova Shenishris Kodem LaOmer. He says, certainly most years, every year, we don't have to really be concerned about the wheat that is grown, that maybe it took root before Kodem DeSamchinan Shemalo Nishrusha, that maybe it didn't take root. Because the samchinan aruba shenishrusha kodem laomer, because we can rely on the fact that most of the wheat takes root before the omer. Va'od shehu sveik sveika, and also it's a sveik sveika. Shema hi mitvua shana sha'avra, va'filu hi mitvua shana zu, shema nishrusha lifnei omer. That maybe it's from a previous year, and even if you say it's from this year, maybe it took root before the omer. So I pointed out last week that at first glance this is a very strange sveik sveika because it seems to just be one suffix, right? You're left with the same suffix of did it take root before the omer or not. It's the same suffix for both of these. But you see a little bit here that it's not that simple because it's really a question of which batch is it from, right? It might be from a previous batch, and even if it's from this batch, maybe it took root before the omer, right? That's the way that it's that we understand. We'll get into the lumdus of that probably next week. But now, he says, this is the Rush talking, he says, but now, lifnei ha-pesach, nasati libiyon, she-yamai inui ha-gayim, hayu b'prus ha-pesach, v'gam eis ha-garid, haya, v'lo yachlu lachrosh, u-miyata de-miyata zaru lifnei ha-pesach. He says, so I decided one year to investigate this a little bit, and I went around right before Pesach, and I saw that the gayim, they were not planting before Pesach. And even the ground was all parched. So I'm not sure where the Rush was living at this time where he wrote this tshuva. You can probably figure out whether he was still in Germany or whether he had already moved to Spain. But he says, I was going around and I saw the ground was still parched. I assume he means the ground was frozen, right? Although he was but he lived in southern Germany. So I'm not sure what the weather is like in southern Germany, and it's north of the Alps. I don't know. But whatever it was, the Rush was very disappointed to see that nothing was being, meaning his whole assumption is now off. His assumption is that, well, a lot, all the things are planted before Pesach anyways, so probably it takes root then, even if maybe there's some planting that goes on afterwards. He says, but then I looked around and saw that nobody was planting before Pesach. He says, V'lo malani libi les, he says, so then he says, V'lo malani libi les or ulai lo yishvili. He says, but I didn't want to asser it because maybe they wouldn't listen to me. Which is a very... a very strange thing to write like that, right? And what I just told people was, ask the people who work the land, if they tell you, if they say that most of it was planted before Pesach, then mutter, and if not, it's going to be aser. Meaning, I think what he's saying is, I didn't want to put out a kol kore and spread throughout the land. Everybody should know that all the grain now is aser, you're not allowed to use it. I just told people privately, you should ask around and just see what the story is. So v'gamani zachor minorai pamim v'shalosh shimi inui hagoyim hayu b'frosa pesach sherabosai nagu iser aval lo horu halacha l'maisel l'iser. He says, and also I remember from when I was young that they also realized sometimes that the goyim weren't planting before Pesach, and in my rebbeim, I assume the Maram Ruthenberg, right, didn't go around telling everybody that it's us. So he just was machir himself. He says, and not only that, I'm not going to go around saying that it's aser. Also because mutav shay yishogigin value mezidin. Better that everybody be shogig and not be mezid. V'acheired yefrosh adkan. But it's somebody who's a charedi, right? So he should separate from it. So first of all, I would have stopped. I wish we would have sort of stopped that halacha l'maisa l'iser. I'm not going to say it's us and then rely on that. But then he pulled out the emutav shay yishogigin value mezidin, which means really it is aser. Right? So that's a very difficult thing to say. Beyond that, the mutter shay yishogin value mezidin does not apply to things that are what we refer to as mefurish bakra, right? Things that are explicit in the pasuk. So this seems to be explicit in the pasuk, right? I mean, the pasuk says you're not allowed. It didn't do reisa. Now, truth is, even if you want to turn around and say, yeah, but that's only in Eretz Yisrael, not in Chutz La'aretz, it's still mefurish bakra, right? It's still explicit in the pasuk. Like, you're not allowed to eat things. Right? You need a lumdus to figure out why it's not. So the mitzvah shai shog. So that idea, I thought, and the truth is, had an application of this in a shaila a little while ago, that. It could be that just things that aren't known by people, you would still say mutav shay yishogigin value mezidin. Meaning the case in the Gemara is about the people that weren't about the women who were too busy on Erev Yom Kippur and they weren't doing Tosefes Yom HaKippurim. And they ask, why didn't you tell them they do? It's a din d'oraisa. Says, yeah, but it's einu mefurish bakra. Right. So what does that mean? So it probably mean what's the issue? He says, well, if it's like, don't do avodah zarah. So I'm going to tell people that everybody knows you shouldn't do avodah zarah. So therefore, mutav shay yishogigin value mezidin doesn't apply. Everybody knows you're supposed to be you shouldn't be machal shabbos. Okay, so therefore it's not going to apply. But in a case where not everybody knows, so yeah, it's true. It is mefurish bakra, right? Halavai, everybody should do shnai mikra v'yechad targum, and everybody should review the parsha, and everybody should pay very close attention on the second day of Pesach when the parsha is read of Chadash. Because, yeah, but l'maisa, they had a seder the night before that went to 1:30 in the morning, and they might not be paying attention during laning, and might not know exactly what it means. So therefore, maybe it still is applicable to say mutav shay yishogigin value mezidin. But anyways, that's the rush. I think we'll get back to that, Emir Tzashem, I think, next week. The Rush says yes, but he also comes up with this fake. I mean, the Rush did not hold to the Bach. Well, at least the Rush seemingly doesn't hold like the Bach, although the Bach, remember, said that he thinks the Rush changed his mind later on in life to hold like him. Okay. But this tshuva is early. Right? The Bach points to that tshuva and says, that's not like me. But the Rush is machmir. The Rush, Rambam, and Riff are all machmir, and that's why everyone scratches their head and wonders why we would be mekel. But he's on the machmir team. But he himself is already coming up with the limud zchus here and trying to say, sveika, and you're not really sure, and things like that. So the Beis Yosef here adds in. Yeah, so the Beis Yosef. So what is the idea of Tfuah Shenishrash? So he says, first of all, it's the Mishnah Bereish Maseches Chalav and Menachos Perak Rabbi Yishmael, the Chesuv Asav Asamach. We'll write it out soon. I'm not sure where he did write it out, but there is, it is a Mishnah there, right, that says that it's based on the Hashrasha and not on the not on the harvest or anything like that, right, as we talked about last week. And then he continues on and says, B'chol HaShonim Ein Lachosh Misafik. He says, B'chlal Sheni, right? Vegam hatosvos kasu b'sof perak kama de kedushin. The yesh lizar im adam yodeya bevade shesorim nizru achar zman hakravas haomer. Says if you know, right? If you know, right, you're the gardener, right? It's your field, right? And you see that the stuff is coming out. You know when you planted and you know when it's coming out. So that would be a problem, right? Nizru achar zman hakravas haomer. The haynu achar yudvav benisan shelo yochoyim. You shouldn't eat from it. Umisafik ain't lesser kolas orim, but because of a safik, we're not going to be machmer. And everything came in the rovas orim nizru kodem yudvav benisam chen kasa mordechai v'zel l'shono masha anu konim schar min hagayim ve'in anu choshishim. Oh, sorry, where the Mordechai talks about shechar from gayim. He talks about buying beer from the non-Jews. He says we don't have to be choshish for chadash shem hasa orim lo hishrishu kodem haomer. It's going to be the same issue if beer that is that comes of age in December, so maybe it comes from the summer wheat. And it's going to be a problem. So Mordechai says we don't have to worry about that. It's the second time you call me. Okay, so So the, what am I getting here then? Here in the Beis Yosef, Hashem has sa'arim lo hishvishu kodama omer, omer avya, the samchinan arova de sechar asu mi sa'arim shishvishu kodama omer. That, there you have the right to rely on the rov, that most was before omer, inami miyashim miyoshnim mishnatayim, vavale safik sveiku miyuta de miyuta velochayish. That it could be old beer, in which case we don't have to worry about it. But it goes, maimini kasu parak mihilchos machalos asuris, b'shem sefer mitzvos, shehishiv read the misveika ein lesor de rov tvul shalam nizrim vinishrashim kodama omer. Most is planted before the omer. Uvetarmaniza zorim shibola shual achar Pesach. In this place, they did plant it after Pesach. Mikol makom kevin she'in dlalsos hamedina neulos v'yachol lahavi shami mekomos acherim. He says, but the who says that it came from there? Meaning the doors of that country aren't closed. It could have the wheat have come somebody else, where most of it is planted before Pesach. It's still going to be mutter there too. Again, I'm not sure what the Ram is. I knowig lahachmir al atzma. I guess the Maram Rutenberg, I think, that was machmir himself. Shelo lechol saorim lefi sheruva nizros achar Pesach olifnei samach maod vafilu lefi chumra zu bein Pesach lechatzir saorim mutter lechol mehem ad kan l'shon. But even according to this. Right, but anything that is between, even if you want to be machmir, certainly after Pesach until the wheat is cut, meaning that's what we do. The chadash machmir people do this, right? Wait until you know that the stuff is grown, which is going to take a few months, so you have the right to be makil in that case as well. Fine. And the Trumas Adeshan seems to reiterate that issue as well. I talked about some other things, but Trumas Adeshan maybe we'll save for next week. Actually, maybe not. All right, well, so what's this issue? But before we get to this, okay, so bottom line, how do we have the right to rely on these sfeikos? First, you got to figure out what this hashrasha is, meaning how much does it need to do, how much prior does the hashrasha need to take place? So now, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't actually say. If you go to page, what, four, five? In the Shulchan Aruch page?
Four is the Shulchan Aruch.
Yeah. So if you go to page four, Siv Gimel says, Tvua shelo hishrisha, kodem l'tes zayin benisan, asura ad sheyavi haomer haba. That if the Tvua did not take root before the 16th of Nisan, it's asur until you get to the next omer, until you come around to the next year, right? So so then the question then becomes, okay, what does hashrasha mean? What does it mean to have taken root? So if you take a look here at the shach, so the shach is the top of the page, beis, shelo hashrisha, says the shach, about im nishrisha kodem haomer, if it did take root before the omer, afal pi shelo niktzera ad achara omer haomer matira. Even though it wasn't cut until after the omer, still the omer was matirat. Okay, that seems right. It needs to have taken root. And then kasev betrumas hadeshen simen kufnanav. Although it might not. It's not in the Trumas Hadeshen Kufnan Aleph. I think Kuf Tzadi Aleph. What does it say by you? Oh, you don't have the newer Shulchan Aruch. Yeah, all right. So the Nishrish Kodem Omer. So I think it's Kuf Tzadi Aleph is the Trumas Hadeshen that discusses this. But if it was planted Hainu Gimel Yamin, I mean, what does it mean before the Omer that it needed 3 days to take root? Kedemuchach behedya perak makum shenagu, as we see in makum shenagu, gabi haditanya hamenachesh bi yud gimel. As we see in Makom Shenagu, what's Makom Shenagu? So, where'd it go? what's Makom Shenagu? Makom Shenagu is the fifth parak of Maseches, the fourth parak of Maseches Pesachim that discusses with the different minhagim of Pesach. So one of them is. Oh, you do have Hilchos. You do have.
Well, the very first page might be there, just because the way they cut it. Maybe
over. I don't think so.
But we're looking at
Reish Sadi Gimel.
Shach Reish Sadi Gimel. No, it only has the first line of the Shach.
What are you looking for?
Amishas Aminim. Out of my book.
The previous volume, the Shulchan Aruch Tour that Sheldon had, ends at the end of Hilchos Shiluach HaKein.
Got one line. Amishas Aminim.
Right. So I need two lines after that. All right. Anyways, fine. But it says the Nishrash Kodama Omer Hainu Gimel Yamim. He says, when is that? That's 3 days. Kenmuchach, as we see clearly in the Gemara in Maseches Pesachim. So, what is that talking about? I mean, it takes 3 days in order to take root. So the Gemara there, I could have put this on the sheet. The Gemara there has a discussion about planting prior to Pesach. Are you allowed to plant on Erev? The Gemara there really is discussing the Isser of Malacha on Erev Pesach. That's what the Mishnah is talking about. And the Gemara has then a debate about doing it or not. So then the Gemara then says, aye, but you see that you, it has the case of somebody planting on Yud Gimel Nisan. It says, aye, you see from here that you can't plant on Yud Dalet Nisan, because otherwise that was what the Gemara would talk about. So the Gemara then turns around and says, wait a second, no. I'll tell you why he's not planting on Yud Dalet Nisan, not because there's an Isser Malacha, but because he wants to avoid the Isser of Chadash. Right? He wants to make sure that it gets planted prior to, as 3 days prior to the bringing of the Korban Omer. So if you plant on Yud Dalet, so then you're only going to have 2 days. Yud Dalet Tesvav, and then Tezayin is when it gets cut. So therefore you need to already have it done on Yud Gimel. You had to do it on Yud Gimel. So the Gemara turns around and says, why? Why can't you say Yud Dalet and that Yud Dalet is day one, Mixas Hayom Kekulo, Tesvav is day two, and Tezayin is day three, and also Mixas Hayom Kekulo. So the Gemara responds by saying, well, we give you one Mixas Hayom Kekulo, we don't give you two, right? We'll give you 2 days plus something, but not 1 day plus something plus something. Right? That's not going to work. If it's 2 days plus something, minimum is you'd have at least 48 hours. If it's 1 day, right, then you're talking about a minimum potentially of like 26 hours. Right? So that's not much, especially here when we're talking about a metzias. Right? It's not like sort of a halacha. It's a like the question is, does it actually take root during that time? So that's what the Shach here says. Shach is based on the Trumas Hadeshen, which he did put on the sheet here, and which was alluded to by that Darkei Moshe. But he says we get 3 days, and that's the based on that Gemara in Maseches Pesachim, right? So far, so good. But then the Shach asks a question. Problem is, the Shach ended, right? So where do you see the Shach asks a question? So where it says Hainu Gimel Yamim, there is a star and half moon over there. That's what my Chavrusa used to call it, right? You see, there's a little star and half moon after the word Gimel Yamim.
Asterisk,
parentheses. Yeah. Parentheses, asterisk, right? For the college trained here. So the So what is that? So usually you don't find that in the Shach. That's a note that's sending you to the Nekudas HaKesef. So the Nekudas HaKesef was written to argue against the Taz, right? That the Shach and Taz were both printed around the same time, and then when it was printed, so the Nekudas HaKesef, the Shach wrote Nekudas HaKesef to argue against the Taz. So, but here he argues against himself, which is a little odd. But anyways, the Nekudas HaKesef here says, "Kedemuchach behedya perak makam shenagu." So the Nekudas HaKesef says, wait a second. Fulfilling as dicey, right, in my humble opinion. So what do you mean my humble opinion? I thought you already had your humble opinion. He says, no. There he was actually quoting the Truma Sadeshan. Right? So now all of a sudden he thinks about it. He says, wait a second. He says, Fulfilling as dicey, lo muchach midi. So it doesn't make sense. The perak makam shenagu amrinan deshaminan l'rebi yuda. The amar hachi gabe harkava. He says, what are we talking about here? We're talking about it taking root, right? That it beginning to take root. Aval Rabbi Yosi v'Rabbi Shimon ha-pligi aleha b'perek beiz d'shvias. He says, but this machlokas about how long it takes something to take root appears in a Mishnah in Masech HaShvias. And that's a machlokas between Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Shimon. I mean, what's that machlokas about? That's machlokas about how much prior to Shvias, to the beginning of Shemitah, do you have to plant things in order to ensure that it is already considered planted before Shemitah. A, for the purpose of make sure it's not taking root during Shemitah, and B, to count it as an extra orla year, right? To count it as a year prior to count it as that year. And there, the Shvias umaisi la bishas per kama de Rosh Hashanah dafya. And also it's discussed in the Gemara in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, right? So if the yeshiva guys who never learned Seder Zerayim, like, don't worry, it's a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, and for those yeshiva guys who never learned Rosh Hashanah, don't worry, it's a Gemara in Yevamos as well, right? Paraka Arel Daf Pei Gimel, right? Ayin Amad Aleph, V'ifsaka Halchasa B'shas Paraka Arel K'Rabbi Yosi, right? And we pass on like Rabbi Yosi in that Machlokas. Rabbi Shimon D'Amri Shtei Shabbasos, and Rabbi Shimon who say, 2 weeks. That takes 2 weeks. So what are you giving me this 3 days business and mixes Yom Kukulo? He says, yeah, very nice. You have a Gemara in Pesachim that proves that. We don't paskin like that Gemara in Maseches Pesachim. Not necessarily about the Mixed Yom Kukulo aspect, but about the 3 days aspect. That's going according to the Shita that only takes 3 days. But we paskin it takes 2 weeks. So therefore, it really needs to be planted 2 weeks by Rosh Chodesh Nisan, not 3 days, not Yud Gimel Nisan. It says, Rishim Damri Shtei Shabbasos, V'chein Perish Kol HaPoskim, V'aram Perak Gimel Mehilchel Shmita V'yovel, V'im Kain, Divrei HaTrumas Hadashan, Tzarech Iyun. And therefore the question of the Trumas Hadashan, therefore the Shita of the Trumas Hadashan is questionable. That's the Shita, that's what's added by the Nekudas HaKesef. Now, the truth is now we could venture down to the... Oh, look at that. I see Rabbi Kiva Eger asks the same question. Oh, and he says, oh, and look at that, and I had the same question. I found the same question in the Nod Rabbi Yehuda, right? And that Nod Rabbi Yehuda here is quoted in the Piskei Tshuva. And the truth is, you don't even have to go to the Nod Rabbi Yehuda because the Nod Rabbi Yehuda on the page, meaning the Dagol Meiravava, asks the same question too as well. Right? If you take a look in the Piskei Tshuva, so Piskei Tshuva Dalet Shalohi Shrisha says, I am a Tshuva's Nod Rabbi Yehuda Tinyana Chelek Or Chaim Simen Pei Dalet Sho Hazureya Be'erev Pesach Kevin Shiyom Gimel Hu Yom Hanaf V'lo Nigbar Haklita Ad Sof Hayom Nishar Be'iser Chadash V'yevshar Lo'osu Yom Shiyala L'Klita U'lahatir Mishum Chadash. So first he makes the point, the truth is that Tshuva is about, I put the Tshuva, I think, on the next page. The Tshuva from the Nod Rabbi Yehuda, that Tshuva is about whether you can, what about planting things Erev Pesach? Which is, you know, so which he says, no, he gets into Mixas Yom Kukulo over the course of that. And then at the very end of that Tshuva, he quotes, and this is, and that's the next Piskei Tshuva. He says, I'm Be'er Hetev, V'nisharish Kodon HaOmer, Hainu Gimel Yamin, V'hu Mitrumas Hadeshem, which the Shach brings, and see the Dag Mir Vavash Temalza that asks, right, the Anum Kaimla, we pass like Rabbi Yosi, the Hainu Shtei Shabbasos, Chol HaTamad Simen Reish Tadi Dalad, V'shuv Rad Da Shach Ba'atzmo, V'nekudas HaKesef, Hisig Al Trumas Hadeshem, it also asks the question, V'ayim B'tshuvas Ksam Soifer, gives you a whole list there, that tries to answer the words of the Trumas Hadeshem, B'tuv Tam, and see the Haggad Nifla B'shiltos, Perek Parshas Bahar, Gam B'mishkenos Yaakov, So Simen Samach Dalad. Okay, so they raise the question. All of them raise the question. See, the Dagol Meiravava, you don't have to read the same question again, ask the same question. Why is it that the Trumas Hadeshan says 3 days? And the Gemara elsewhere seems to paskin like Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon that you should require 2 weeks. Now, I don't know what the answer is. Somewhat surprising on such a big question, I thought that the Pesach Yeshiva doesn't bring the answer, and I didn't have a chance to get to dig into the Chassam Sofer and see what his answer is to this question either. Suffice to say, I believe we do on this podcast that Rav Shalom Tendler gave. So he quoted that this Shiloh came up for him, that he had it on. That they oversee some mill. I mentioned this last week, that he oversees that the Sarkei gives certification to some mill, and they want to certify it as Yashin, and the guy called him the day before Pesach and asked, can I still plant certain things for this year and still have it counted as Yashin? And he quickly called Rav Heinemann. Rav Heinemann says, well, yeah, you only need 3 days. So apparently, at least, we paskin, at least in Chutz La'aretz, that like this Trumas Adeshin, despite the fact that there seems to be a major question on it, but apparently the Chassam Sofer answers it, and the Mishkanos Yaakov has a beautiful answer based on Isha Iltos, which hopefully we'll have a chance to look into for next week's share. Okay? All right.
I have a question about the road business.
Yeah.
It was saying that you have a mixture, but as long as it's mostly the Yashan, it should be okay, right?
Yeah. So the truth is, why should it be enough? Really, you should need more than you should need to be mevatel it. Are you going to ask?
Well, I was trying to teach lots of Shabbos when you were away, and I found a tshuva of the OU about salt. You put salt in the hot soup.
Okay.
So the question is how the salt is made.
Right.
So one of the questions they raise is, let's say 85% of the salt has been cooked, but 50% has not. Can you use that salt? Can you put that into a pot on the stove? So the answer they gave was no, because still 50% is getting to water.
Right.
So it sounds like I would never be cooked in that case.
Correct. No, so that yes. Yeah, so, right. So there they're talking about... I'm not sure what it means, percentage things cooked, meaning it wasn't cooked. I'm not sure about that. But in general, what's going on here? Since when do we rely on rov, right? We try to be machmir, right? Imagine if I would, walk into a ice cream store, give a hechsher an ice cream store and say, well, the majority of the flavors are good, so don't worry about it. It's all okay. Right, so that's... That is obviously a problem. So I think here the issue is they're trying to avoid the deoraisa. It's a sveika, and there you can rely on half of it being a rov. I think that's the only time that it's coming up. And B, we deoraisa would also say that it's batel barov, because it's deoraisa, it's batel barov. Meaning the rabbanon it's not, but deoraisa it is. But then you add on the other suffix, so therefore maybe that's the grounds to be makel. I think that's what's going on there. Okay. All right, let's stop here. Have a good evening. First day of school tomorrow.
Oh, no.
No, that's good. Not for me.